Thanks for clicking on our podcast. We hope you enjoy it, and we look forward to seeing you next time at North Star Church. Thanks.
It's a real humble honor today to celebrate when believers are obedient to Jesus to the point that they submit to this strange thing called baptism. As we look at the New Testament, it's really, really clear that people were baptized after they gave their life to Jesus Christ. And for us 21st century followers of Jesus, we look at this ritual, this ceremony of baptism, and we look at it with kind of a confused attitude sometimes, because we kind of go, what is that? Because it just doesn't gel with the internet. It doesn't gel with remote controls, and it doesn't gel with our pace of life and our culture. And maybe that's the point of it. From eons ago, when the Lord instituted that, and He gave Christians the commission, He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. When we were given that commission, it doesn't just mean that pastors and church staff should spread out across the world and make disciples and baptize people. Literally, our vision and our hope is that as people in our community and Blacksburg, Christiansburg, and surrounding areas, as they give their life to Jesus, it would be our dream, and we would celebrate with you that if you lead someone to Jesus Christ, we want you to have a role to play in baptizing them. It does not have to be me, it doesn't have to be Cody, it doesn't have to be an ordained staff person, because when that commission was given, it was given to the church. It was given to you as the church. And so we're just celebrating today the fact that there are three people that we know of that are here today that we'll be baptizing. Someone else may step forward sometime during the course of today and say, you know what? I've given my life to Jesus Christ. I've trusted Him as my Lord and Savior, but I've never followed through and been obedient in this area of my life, and I'd like to be baptized today. And if you don't want to do that today, just let us know, and we'll schedule another baptism service later. We've got several who are not able to be here today and would like to be baptized already. And so it's just a good time. It's a good time to celebrate. We do want to look at the book of Luke this morning, and we're going to look at that just real briefly. We've been in a study of the Gospel of Luke since January. If you turn there, Luke chapter 5 is where we're going to pick up today. It's on page 861 in my Bible, if that helps. Margie liked that. Thank you. And it's a fantastic passage of Scripture, because as Luke has been writing to this man named Theophilus, and many, many weeks ago in January, we looked at Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and we looked at who was Luke writing this gospel to. And we looked at why did Luke write this gospel? Because there already probably were Matthew and Mark in existence. So why did Luke write his gospel? Now we know that the Holy Spirit prompted him, led him, inspired him to write it. But the way that Luke has put his gospel together, he put it together with purpose and reason. And we've already looked at in the last several weeks, it's not written chronologically. You can't read through Luke and say, okay, chapter 2 happened before chapter 4, because that's not always true. You have to compare the order of events in Luke with the order of events in Matthew and Mark, and then you have to kind of come to some kind of general consensus and understanding about that. But in Luke chapter 5, last week we looked at Jesus calling the first of his disciples that are named, and we saw him call a man named Simon and his brother Andrew, who were fishermen, and we saw him call James and John, and he gave them an invitation. And he says, from now on, you will be catching men. You'll be fishing for men. And we looked at the expression used in that verse, and you can look back up at Luke chapter 5, verse 10. It says, do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. And we looked at how one of the Greek words used for that expression was zoos, which means life. And the other Greek word was agrion, which means to hunt or catch. And so the idea of what Jesus was telling these four fishermen, his idea was, from now on, you'll be bringing back people alive. It's kind of like the idea of bring them back alive. He's saying you're going to be catching people alive. And your mission in life will not just be catching fish, but your life mission, your life purpose will begin to influence the souls of men and women. And as we move straight into there, the next verse, section of verses that Luke gives us, is about a leper. And this is phenomenal because we've been looking for the past several weeks about Jesus' authority. And we've seen that Jesus has authority over the weather. We've seen that Jesus has authority over evil spirits. We've seen that Jesus has authority over illnesses. And so we've been seeing that Jesus is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. The primary message that He's been preaching is the kingdom of heaven is here. Repent and believe the good news. He's preached that message all over the Galilean region. That's been his primary sermon content. And as he's been doing that, he's been demonstrating his immense authority. And he's been preaching a message, but he's been backing up that message with acts of power and the miraculous. The miracles that Jesus performed were not just to make a show, but it was to validate the message he was preaching. He would preach, and then he would perform miracles. And the miracles were there to prove that what Jesus was saying was absolute truth. And then this morning, as we look at verse 12, we're going to see that Jesus has authority over what is clean and unclean, which is pretty huge in the Jewish culture. So let's read. Verse 12. While he was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And so we have this situation. Jesus has come into one of the cities. We're not told which city he's in. But as he walks in, a leper comes up, and the leper falls down, and the leper says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, we're going to unpack what the leper was saying in just a moment. But let's look at leprosy. I'm going to go straight from my notes. Leviticus 13 and Leviticus 14 are the two primary passages in the Old Testament law that dealt with people who have leprosy. Leprosy was no fun. It was an isolating disease. If you had leprosy, you were not just put into a hospital. You weren't just given ibuprofen. You weren't just treated. If you had leprosy, you were exiled. You had to go outside of the city. You had to live in desolate places because it was highly contagious. There was no treatment for it in those days. It's called Hansen's disease today. It's highly treatable since about 1981. There's been very, very effective treatments for it. But what leprosy is leprosy is a disease that manifests itself through skin lesions. I'm going to kind of walk back and forth so I can see the people behind the pillar and make sure they're still awake and stuff. And these skin lesions would be the first indication that this disease had taken hold. And if you read Leviticus 13, it's just your eyes kind of cross because it's saying the same thing over and over again. It says, if a white spot appears on the skin and the hair that comes out of the white spot turns white, then you need to observe the person for 7 days. At the end of 7 days, if it looks like that white spot is only skin deep and the hair turns back a normal color or whatever, then it's okay. But if it looks like it's more than skin deep, and if more things appear, then it's leprosy. The person must go outside the camp. And it's just over and over and over and over again. And it's not something you'd want to read before a meal, because Leviticus 13 is just kind of gross. And you just kind of get this bad idea of like, I don't know. Anyway, but here's the deal. Here's how you would treat leprosy. I almost said acne. I don't know what that was about. But here's how you would treat leprosy. There were very rare healings from leprosy in the Old Testament, but when it did occur, there was a prescribed 14-day praise and celebration ceremony. 2 weeks they would praise and they'd celebrate someone who had been healed from leprosy. The priest would go to the leprous person outside of the camp, and the priest would meet with the leprous person with the intent of determining whether the leprosy had actually left or not, if the guy had actually been healed or not. The priest would meet with the guy. After he verified that the leprosy had left, here's the process. And just imagine, the leper would have to take two birds, some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, hyssop, and an iPod. Okay, just kidding about the iPod. But he's got all these this strange conglomeration of things. Two birds, cedar wood, scarlet yarn, hyssop. He would take those things, and then they would take the first bird. They would kill the first bird inside of a clay pot. And the purpose for that was so that they could collect the blood from the first bird. Yes, this is before lunch. I apologize for that. They take the blood, and at this point, they would put the blood, and as they were killing the bird in the clay pot, they would make sure they did so holding the clay pot over fresh water. This is pretty much of an ordeal, right? It's not just take two ibuprofen, come see me in the morning. Then they would take the live bird, the wood, the yarn, and the hyssop, and they would dip all of those things in the blood from the first bird. Then blood would be sprinkled on the leper 7 different times. You got the picture? At that point, the leper would finally be pronounced clean. And to a Jew, clean and unclean would equate with the person's spiritual status, their acceptability before the Lord. Being unclean was kind of like being sinfully contagious to other people. If you were unclean, if I was unclean and I walked up and I said, "Hey, how are you doing?" Unclean! It would spread. If you touched somebody or something that was unclean, sorry about that. Oh, sorry about that, Larray. It just spreads. That's the whole deal. And so if someone was unclean, the Jews made a diligent effort to either, if it was an item of clothing or if it was a piece of material, they'd burn it, they'd destroy it. If it was a person, they would exile them. And you can go through all the Old Testament and you can see that women during their menstrual cycle were declared unclean. Anything that had touched blood was declared unclean. Certain kinds of animals were declared unclean. And so as you read through the Old Testament, there were all these laws related to what was clean and what was unclean. And so this issue of this leper coming up to Jesus and beginning to talk to him, first of all, it raises red flags with every Jew that's there, because they're all like going, "Whoa! Who let this guy in? Where's this guy coming from? He's supposed to be out." And so they're all suddenly hyper-concerned about themselves becoming what? Okay, thank you. A little audience participation. I know it shocks you occasionally. So here's the deal. After the leper is sprinkled 7 times with blood, they release the second bird, the live bird. Remember, the second bird has been dipped in blood? Well, they release the live bird. The live bird flies away, and it's a symbol of, if you really love something, set it free, and if it comes... No, I'm just kidding. But it's a symbol of the dirtiness, the uncleanness has left. It's gone. And so it's taken the uncleanness upon itself, and it's gone. Are you getting a picture of this? Kind of sounding like something New Testament-y, maybe? What was what the person had been infected with, the thing that had made them unclean, something has been killed, the blood from that something has been sprinkled on something else, and the something else has flown away, and now the person that's left there is completely clean and is able to worship God and is able to go to the temple and is able to be a part of God's people with everybody else. At that point, after the bird flies away, the leper is able to enter into the city or come back into the camp, depending on when the Old Testament was. He would come in, he'd wash his clothes, he would shave his body hair, he would bathe, and there would be a 7-day celebration. It was a big deal. It was huge. It didn't happen all the time. It wasn't like, oh my goodness, we have to celebrate another leper being cleansed. I mean, it was like maybe once in a lifetime you'd see this take place. At the end of the 7 days, on the 7th day, now get this, you'd love this. You're kind of like, is it worth it? Yeah, I think it is. On the 7th day, the guy would come back in and they would shave his head, they'd shave his beard, and they would shave the person's eyebrows. And it's almost like the person looks like a newborn again. And it's just like new life. And it's just a symbol of complete cleanliness. The guy would bathe, guy or girl would bathe again. And then on the 8th day of this celebration, is any of you just kind of going, wow? On the 8th day of this celebration, the person would offer 3 unblemished lambs. And they would offer it as a guilt offering, they'd offer it as a sin offering, and they offer it as a burnt offering. And we're not going to go into the distinctions between each of those Old Testament sacrificial offerings, but each of those things were done. The guilt offering would be offered because this leper had not been able to be a part of God's people for however long he'd had leprosy. And so the guilt offering, whether the person was guilty of overt sin or not, the guilt offering would be offered because of all of the times that he'd missed offering sacrifices before that moment while they'd been a leper. Does that make sense? And so they'd offer the 3 offerings. They would take some of the blood from these 3 offerings and they would smear it, get this, on his right ear, his right thumb, and his right toe. Anybody excited about this? You're all like, thank you, thank you. They're kind of like, what is all this? And so they'd smear it on these places, and it was a symbol of this. The person is now willing to listen to God's voice. Right thumb, he's willing to serve God with his hands. On his right foot, or his right toe, because he's willing to walk in God's ways. And it was just a great symbol. And then we'd take some oil, and after the blood was on the earlobe, and the thumb, and the toe, they'd take some oil, and they'd seal it with a little bit of oil on each place, and they would continue the celebration. And that's how 14 days was spent celebrating a leper who had been healed according to the Old Testament law. So, let's fast forward back to Jesus' day, just for a moment. Now you understand a little bit about what a big deal this is, right? This leper shows up. And everybody is probably, I can just kind of see Simon and maybe his brother Andrew, but I can just see Simon like running over to another corner of the yard when this guy shows up, because he's like, he's going to infect all of us. And so this guy comes in. You can probably imagine everybody withdrawing. And so in this circle of people, they're all waiting to see what Jesus, the teacher, the healer, will do. The guy falls on his face and he says this, Lord. He calls him Lord. And it demonstrates the faith of this leper immediately. It says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. In other words, this leper is demonstrating amazing faith. First of all, Jesus' ministry has just started, and the leper is calling him Lord. But the leper comes before him, and he doesn't say, if you can, will you make me clean? The leper on his face in humility before Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, he says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. This guy professes such great faith and he says, I have complete confidence, Jesus, that you can heal me. That you are able to heal me. The question that I'm asking you today on my face before you is, do you have the compassion and willingness to heal me? And there it is. The guy's on his knees, on his face before Jesus. And he's expressed his confidence in Jesus as the Messiah. But now the guy's waiting for those moments. What happens next? What does Jesus say to a leper who's unclean? Jesus, who's a religious teacher. I know what the Pharisees would have done. The Pharisees would have looked at him and said, get out. You can't even be here. But what does Jesus do? I want you to think about all of the hurtful, confusing times in your life where you're at your wit's end. Situations that involve relationships, situations where you've been hurt in the past or you have been embittered. Financial situations. Job situations, marriage situations, and you're just at your wit's end. Do you have a leper's faith? Do you have the kind of faith that can look the Father in the face and say, Father, if you are willing, you can bring this to resolution? I think too often in my own life, sometimes when I get stressed and worried and confused and hurt, sometimes I start questioning God's character instead of trusting His character. I start blaming God for things, and sometimes I'll blame the church or I'll blame Christians or whatever it is, but the right attitude is revealed by this leper who's saying, I do not doubt your ability. I just don't know if it's your will. And I'm here before you because with all of my heart, I want to be... And this leper said, I want to be clean. I want to be restored. I want to have some semblance of normality in my life again. Jesus, will you do this for me? Before we continue, I want to just ask if you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. And in the quietness of this room, it might be you today that you really need Jesus to show up in your life. And just figuratively or literally, if you just feel led to, you need to fall on your face before the Lord and call Him by the name, Lord Jesus. And ask Him, with the faith of a leper, ask Him if He's willing to aid, to help. Just there in the quietness of where you sit. We're going to continue in just a moment, but Cody's going to play just in this quietness. This man had no place to turn. He lived apart from God's people. He was isolated. He's not happy with his life. And he was in the presence of the only person then or now that could heal and that could help. He says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. You might reword that just a little bit for your situation. How would you pray to the Lord today? What would you ask Jesus for today? What do you need from Him? Whether it's wisdom, provision, healing, comfort, restored relationships, forgiveness. Father, as we continue looking at Your Word, we just want to ask that as we look at what You said to this man, allow us to take it to heart, allow us to believe it with every fiber of our being. And Father, I ask that You would use Your words to this leper to transform lives here today. In Jesus' name. Verse 13, it says that Jesus stretched out His hand and He touched him. And He says, I will be clean. Folks, that's huge. What did Jesus do to this person? What had this person not felt for as long as he'd had leprosy? He'd not felt the touch of another human, had he? Certainly not of another Jew. He'd not been given a hug. He'd not been loved on. He'd not been accepted. And he was on his hands and his face before Christ Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He didn't just heal the guy. Jesus said, I will be clean. And Jesus reached down and He touched this unclean person and made him clean. That is exactly what Jesus does for my life and your life today. He doesn't care where you've been. He doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care what you've said. He wants you. He wants you. He doesn't want you to straighten up before you come to Him. He wants you to come to Him, and He will touch you, and He will make you clean, and He will fill you with Himself, and He will help you live a life that's pleasing to Him as you submit your life to Him in obedience. You don't clean up before you get to Jesus. You come to Jesus with your leprosy. You come to Jesus with your stuff. And in humility, you call Him by His name, which is Lord. And you just say, I know You're willing. Will You make me clean? It says, immediately the leprosy left him. And Jesus charged him to tell no one. It's like, yeah, right. There's a 14-day celebration fixing to come. And that's exactly what Matthew and Mark tell us the guy did. In the same story in Matthew and Mark, the guy went out and just spread it everywhere. I'm healed. I'm changed. I'm new. I've been touched by the Lord. And Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as Moses commanded for a proof to them. Verse 15, but now even more the report about him went abroad. Great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Do you get that? Beginning of the story, who was living in desolate places? The leper, right? At the end of the story, who was going to desolate places? Jesus. Because the guy told everybody. So in a sense, Jesus had to remove himself from the crowds because the news went everywhere. The thing I love about this is it echoes 2 Corinthians 5:21, and I want us to close there today before we walk out and celebrate baptism. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Remember the live bird that was released after it had been sprinkled with blood from the dead bird? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this, "For our sake, He," speaking of God the Father, "made Him," speaking of Jesus, "to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Him," in Jesus, "we might become the righteousness of God." Now let me say it again. For our sake, the Father made Jesus to be sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. When Jesus went to the cross, Jesus died on a cross, taking our sins upon Him. Perfect Jesus, who had never sinned, never knew sin. He became sin, so that through His death and His resurrection, our sins might be onto Jesus. And because our sins are now onto Jesus, when Jesus died, our sins were buried. Our sins are gone. They're paid for. Jesus took our sins upon them. It's not righteous and it's not biblical for you to continue wallowing in the guilt of your sin when Jesus has paid the price for your sin. What's biblical is for you in joy to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and say, "Father, thank You for paying for my sins and the sins of the world." And when Jesus was resurrected, He came up out of that grave having left sin, defeated death, so that we might live in faith in Him and become progressively transformed into His image. That's what baptism represents. When someone is baptized and they're immersed under the water, that immersion under the water represents a person dying to their sin. When a person is raised back up out of the water, it's representative of their sin being left in the grave, like Jesus killed our sin for us. And when we say raised to walk and newness of life, that's what we mean. Is baptism is a visual parable of what Jesus did for us on the cross and as He rose from the grave. And that's what we celebrate today, and that's what we worship our Lord Jesus for today, is because He saves any who will come to Him. No matter what you come to Him with, He has all authority in heaven and on earth. Next week we'll look at the fact that He has authority on earth even to forgive sins, which just confounded the Pharisees. They couldn't believe he had the audacity to say, "Your sins are forgiven." But that's what Jesus does, and that's what He's doing. We're going to ask Tucker Kane to come up. He's going to play for us before we go outside. And Tucker, we've been so grateful for him being on staff with us. But as Tucker plays, just allow the words to this song to minister to your heart. Reflect on the Word of God and how it's spoken to you today.